Hello, welcome. Devlin here, and it's time for another edition of the Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show. I never tell you what number it is because I can never remember. I know we're in the 157 or something. It kind of blows my mind when I think of how many I have put out there because, you know, I don't know. I can't think of anything I do that would be 157 hours long, except maybe sleep, and we'll leave it at that. Anyhow, I am excited tonight because this is a spontaneous one. And what I mean with spontaneous is that, well, I have a friend over and I said, hey, what do you want to do? And we said, let's podcast, even though we don't know what to talk about. But the great thing about this is we just talk and it doesn't matter. It's great when you have a guest or, sorry, a co-host that you can talk about anything. But it's great that when, like, we were talking about the great things we were talking about before I pressed on. And now we'll probably have nothing to say, but I like that this guy comes here because we can talk about anything and we just lose all track of time. We sometimes have to just keep a clock nearby or we'd just be wee small hours of the morning. But anyhow, I won't waste any more time. He's been on before. He's a regular. He knows what's going on. It's Mr. Luther Griggs.
Hello, Devlin. Thank you for having me back.
Yes, I'm glad you came back because I don't know if I shared this story, but you actually were one of the only guests that actually recorded a segment of this twice because we actually lost your segment.
Mm-hmm. I was actually surprised when we recorded the next part of, or re-recorded the next part of that you didn't bring it up. And listening to that sometimes is frustrating for me because I talk about the same things. And it's like anyone listening would be like, he said that like, you know, like 10, say exact same thing 10 minutes ago. And I'm like, oh, dang it. Like, and I know that probably doesn't happen, but it's and something
if,
I experienced.
And if I recall, it was the second time you were on the show.
Okay.
I think you've been on three times now. Possibly. This is your third. I lose track.
I think it's my third, yeah.
But anyhow, it was the first part of it.
Yes.
Which made it difficult.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't want to mention it. So basically what happened is we recorded the episode. And then what happens is Corda will go and edit this. And she gets the stuff off this little machine. And she's probably giggling right now hearing this story because we never mentioned it. And what happened was, when she went to go get it, she could not find the first part. Now, this is how amazing Corda is. She went online, and I think she tried something like 19 different things. And she was digging up stuff that had been deleted on this thing months ago.
Yeah.
But she could still not find the first half.
Okay.
And she felt like, oh my God. And then I remember having to call you up and saying, could you come up? And you were amazing because you had a little bit of time before you had to go into work or something
Maybe.
You had to be somewhere.
Possibly.
So I remember we rushed you in, or I may have had to go to work or something.
Or it might have just been last minute. I think you might have, it might have just been like, hey, we didn't do this thing.
Yeah.
Do you want to come back? And I'm like, yeah, I'll come like right now if you want, or next day or something.
And so we literally had to try to recreate the first part that was leading into the second part, which made it difficult. So I thought if I called it out in that episode, it would be a little weird,
but here we are now.
You were awesome, and I don't know if I can have you back if Heather loses this one, because she's going to say it must be Luther, because it never happened any other time.
But you know what's funny is, and I think there's like a community of people online who are like this now, but there was a girl who was in my college program who like consistently, every time she would use a computer or use a making something on a computer, it would shut down. She would lose stuff all the time. She's like, I've had this problem my whole life. And I think it's like, this might be weird or like, you know, kind of superstitious, but I think some people have just like a weird electric like aspect to them where they affect like electronic devices. That might sound weird. I don't think I'm one of them, but
well, we'll find out.
That does happen.
If I call you next week and say, well, if we're going to make it to our release date, we're going to have to talk about whatever. And since we don't know what we're talking about,
yeah,
this could be weird, but,
yeah.
So let's talk about what's going on in your life. What do you got going on?
You know there's nothing going on in my life.
You got music. You were just telling me. Yeah. See, again, we've talked a good hour and a half, and now nothing. You're doing stuff with your bands?
Yeah, for a while, I'm in two bands. I don't know if I've disclosed this on the podcast
before. That's okay, shout it out.
There's some plugs. I'm in one band called Bad Crush, and we're kind of like a pop punk, not like new pop punk, but it's like poppy punk music, kind of surfy, kind of fun punk music. Yeah, so that band's called Bad Crush. And then I'm in another band called Stay Down, which is like a heavy hardcore punk band. And we haven't really been doing much lately. Bad Crush played a show a couple months ago, I think, at Into the Abyss, that record store on Lock Street. And we've been trying to record, but everyone in that band is pretty busy. And so hopefully sometime next month we'll be recording, hopefully. We're actually playing a show at This Ain't Hollywood on April 10th with this band called Uncontrollable Urge. And they're really good, really, really good local band. And then my other band, Stay Down, we haven't done anything in a long time just because our guitar player was in Japan for a month.
Oh, okay. And that could cause problems.
Yeah, but he's back now, and I think we're going to be jamming again this Friday. And then that band, we have a show in July planned. We're opening for a couple like really important and seminal like screamo and hardcore bands, and I'm really excited about that. The two bands are called Loma Prieta and Jerome's Dream, and it's in Toronto, and I'm really excited about that. But other than that, I told you earlier, I started writing and recording music on my own by myself.
I'm excited to hear that too.
Yeah, actually, I should. I think I could show you on my phone. But yeah, I want to start doing that more, just because, like, I think I have a lot of musical ideas that I don't get to address in those bands, and so many ideas that I'd like to pursue more. And I think it was more I started doing it to try and challenge myself to record with the cassette karaoke machine that I have. I literally just plug my bass guitar in and record stuff and do vocals, and I have a plastic garbage pail in my room that I do drums with, but if I just stick a microphone in it, it just sounds like it could be a kick drum, maybe.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm doing that, and
well, it reminds me of Bohemian Rhapsody when they were trying all different sounds to see what it was. So that's exactly what you're doing, and I'm sure Queen wasn't the first people that were doing that. I'm sure cavemen were beating rocks when they were coming up with music.
Yeah, but I've done maybe two or three songs so far, but I want to get at least a 10 minute long tape to release, and I don't have a name for it or anything yet, but it's kind of because I recorded all straight to cassette, so it has a lo-fi quality to it, and I'm trying to do 80s new wavy goth kind of music.
Cool.
So yeah, that's what I'm doing music wise currently. I'm not as active as I'd like to be, but trying to be as more active as possible.
There are people that are probably exhausted just from you mentioning you're in two bands and writing your own music, but that's still not enough for Mr. Grigg. That's awesome. And the comedy?
You came to my last comedy show. Yeah. It was a show I co-hosted with my friend Jesse Goyette, and it was a charity show for...
Did you raise a lot of money?
I think they raised at least $250, which is apparently the most they've ever raised.
Good, good.
So that was cool. And Jesse and I are hoping to do more. I was planning another comedy show for this week, actually, but it just kind of fell through. I had some people drop off, and I just didn't really have the energy to redo it or jig it or anything. But, I think all summer, Jesse and I want to be co-hosting more comedy. I think we were thinking of doing
local comedians and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
Well, you had some amazing comedians there, and one came from Toronto, wasn't it?
Two of them.
Two from Toronto,
Devin was the only one from Hamilton. Yeah. And then we had a guy, I can't remember his name. I think his name was Jeremy Cooper. I feel bad because...
Sounds familiar.
I think that's his name. He was really funny. Surprisingly, he was very funny, yeah. I have never seen him before.
Surprisingly funny. Then. Not only did you forget the guy's name, but you were surprised he was funny. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. Know. I'm busting your balls. Sorry. Yeah. Just the way you said it. Surprisingly, we just got this guy off the street.
Yeah, well, it was just sometimes because the headliner, her name, she's from Toronto. Her name's Claire Belford. And I had seen her do stand-up in Toronto, and I'm like, this person's awesome, and I want them to come to Hamilton. Yeah, and I've asked her before, but she couldn't come out, and so we asked her again because we were doing this show.
Persistence.
Yes. and she's like, oh, like, can I ask someone else from Toronto so she can get a ride? And I'm like, yeah, and it's always a gamble because sometimes, like, oh, I don't know what this person's comedy is going to be like, so sometimes you worry. But I think... I'm hoping his name is Jeremy, so I'm just going to keep calling him Jeremy.
Yeah, look him up. If you don't see a Jeremy Cooper and he's a real estate agent, just tell him he's very funny.
If that's not his name, I will write in the YouTube comments what his real name actually is. But
please do that. We don't get enough YouTube comments.
So I'll say his name is Jeremy right now. But I thought it was cool because sometimes I can be weary of male comics because sometimes they can...
You don't know what their style is or...
Yeah, yeah. Not to say, you know, all male comics are... Yeah. Are
bad and I'm sure there's a couple of women comics that can cross 100% lines too. Always. Yeah.
But sometimes I get nervous and especially because I don't really know Claire that well and most of the comedians that I've had come from out of town that bring friends. Like, I know them and I know their tastes and I'm like, I trust these people to bring good comedians out.
Did you meet this guy? Like, did you just...
Jeremy?
Yeah.
Well, Claire brought Jeremy.
Oh, okay. So.
Yeah. So she's just like, oh, can he come so she can get a ride? And I loved Jeremy's set because it started out and I think he was starting to talk about like sports and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh no, this isn't going to play well. But he subverted.
Yeah.
Like,
he found ways.
Yeah. It's like he started like his jokes with stuff you'd expect certain comedians to say, and you'd be like, oh no, where's this gonna go? And he'd like totally like turn it in a different direction.
I remember some of the jokes he told, but my favorite thing he did was actually an improv moment. This was at a vegan bakery. What was it called?
It's a vegan restaurant called Planted.
Planted, yes. It's a restaurant. I always say it's a bakery.
Yeah, not a bakery.
Why is it just a bakery? Because most of it was bakery, but they did have other stuff.
There's a vegan bakery on Ottawa Street called Hardy Hooligan, so maybe people get it confused.
Yeah. But anyhow, where they performed was this open, like, window where people were walking by, and you could actually see people walking through the doors. And I remember at one point, somebody in the middle of a set just walked out the doors. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, I've never done comedy at a place where you can actually watch the people walking to their cars shaking their heads. And I thought that was hilarious because they walked and he's like, oh, have a good night. Like right in the middle of your show, there's a real confidence builder. But I like how he turned that into a very funny line just because it's like, well, you don't usually do comedy shows where you can actually watch them go all the way to their car shaking their heads.
Yeah. I actually have a really funny story that's similar to this. And my friend Michelle Zeta Mirsky, who is a Hamilton comedian, like one of the funniest people in the city for sure. She used to put on charity shows at this place called The Stranger on James Street. And it was also right in front of a big glass window. And it was this comedian named Chris Locke, and I was actually opening at that show. And he started out, and I don't think he's maybe been to Hamilton that many times, and you know, Hamilton has had a bad reputation to some people. And people would walk by, and he's like, oh, I'm scared, you know, making dumb jokes about like, oh, people in Hamilton, da da da. But I'm pretty sure the door was open because it was summer, it was kind of hot, and I think that there was a door person or something. But anyways, it was so surreal, I tell you. I was sitting front row right in front of the door, and there was this guy across the street that started yelling at him from across the street, and he's like, oh my god, what is going on right now? Like, am I gonna die? And it was like, it was like a scene out of like Twin Peaks or something. It was like this old man told, like, I didn't realize right away, but he was very drunk, and he's like creeping, like crouching, like creeping across the street, like mumbling and stuff, and like it was just looked like a David Lynch something, like very static, like him just like coming up in this comedian be like, what the hell is happening right now? Wow. And he like came in and he's like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, it's my birthday. And like it was like one of the craziest like sporadic in the moment things I'd ever experienced at a comedy show, and he's just talking to him, and he's like yelling, he's like, it's my birthday, and all this sort of stuff. And it was funny because he was there for a while, like maybe like 5 minutes, and then when he left, he's like, all right, well, I'm gonna do my comedy now. And he put like the mic stand in front of the door with like a hat on it, and he's like, that way no more scary people will come in here. And that was amazing. That was a really good experience.
That's a great story though.
Yeah.
I like those Twin Peaks moments.
Oh, it was so... I feel like I'm not describing it well enough because it was like dark.
You had great visuals. You had a great visual. I'm sure when we listen to this, it'll come off like one of those old-time radio shows.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Now, that was the first time I came close to seeing you do comedy, because you were doing comedy a little bit during the bits, but it was more hosting kind of comedy.
Yeah.
From what you've told me, I think your comedy is a little different than that. But I enjoyed what I heard, because you were saying you were using the horoscopes, which I thought was very clever, and I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, that went really well. I was really
worried. It was very funny. I thought it was, like, because you were just... Were you making it up on the spot, or did you kind of have an
idea? I wrote it down.
Okay. It's still good. It was still good.
Yeah, so just for people for listening, they don't know. I basically, like, we are raising money for this thing, and I was like, oh, I've gotten into astrology lately, so I like would ask people in the audience what their sign was, and then like read a description, and it was like, if you don't give money to this charity, something really bad will happen to you if you don't do it on this day.
Which was awesome, because people were like there, and so I like that.
But yeah.
Now, I told you one of the things you said. I hope I didn't freak you out with it, but you actually said that you read your own astrology sign.
Yes.
And you mentioned something about you had great legs.
Yes.
And I remember I'd seen a picture recently on Facebook where you had these little shorts.
Yes.
Well, not like the...
I wear short shorts.
I missed that picture. I'm going to be checking your Facebooks out now. But no, you had like a capri or something. Okay. It was just out of the knee. And I remember looking at that picture. Oh, Luther's got great legs. And then when you said it, and I sent you a thing saying it, but I thought, oh, maybe I weirded him out a bit with that.
I'll say it's definitely a compliment I've gotten before. So I knew that if I said it, like certain friends
but
in the audience.
But you didn't get it from me. But no, I was just kidding.
No, but I'm glad it hit with you as well.
No, that's the first thing I thought. I said, oh my God, I saw a picture of you with, and I thought, wow, Luther's got nice legs.
Mm-hmm.
You got that whole hairy leg aspect.
Like
that, sorry. You didn't think we were going there tonight.
I don't shave them. It's true.
That's good. But if you wanted to do that, that's your prerogative.
I've thought
about it. Now, I was going to ask you a stupid question, but sometimes as a host, I catch myself, but I'm going to admit that it was a stupid question. Because I said, you know, if you and I were to collaborate on something, could you see that in the future? And then I realized we're doing a third podcast.
Yeah.
We are collaborating on something, but... I would love to work with you sometime.
Something. For sure.
I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not musically inclined. I'm not really a comedian because I'm more of a storyteller.
Maybe we could do an improv something or like a loose sketch comedy or something maybe. Or
that, I wouldn't mind doing that.
Or maybe we could do a radio show, write a script or something.
I'm not trying to say we're on the same wavelength, but I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
I wonder, it would be kind of cool to do a recording playing characters or...
Yeah. Oh, and we could get like a soundboard with like sound effects and stuff like that.
Wow. I think this is where you're hearing something that I hope happens in 2019.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Because I think it'd be great to just do you could do a story, but even if you just did a conversation and I don't know what kind of character you're going to be, and I'm just like two people at a dinner or something, and it's like, or We'll find some, we'll figure something out.
Speaking of which,
oh, my head's going crazy now. Yeah, I kind of want to do this.
That would be cool. Yeah. Maybe next time I'm over. we didn't have an idea for this podcast, but now we have plenty of ideas.
Think of some ideas. I'll think of some ideas, but I like the idea because I'd love to play off you because I think you'd have great, but we've never done a conversation where we were different people.
Yes. Yeah.
Even if we didn't do different voices, we could have different stories, but we should, let's look into it. That'd be a good idea.
But I was actually on a podcast last summer that hasn't been released yet, so I won't say who did it or
that's a long wait, boy.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that do this, like, you know, they'll have a podcast and it just never comes out, which is why I really like what you do, because you just put it out when you want to put it out.
Well, yeah, and I admit I don't have a lot of listeners. I'm happy that I get one or two, or I used to have 17. I swear they've all gone. But what I like about it, like, you just promoted a show in April.
Yeah.
And you know this one is going to come out, like, it'll be the next week. Mm-hmm. I like to do it quickly because it gives a chance that somebody might.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
I like to promote that kind of thing and stuff like that. Now, when I asked you what we could do tonight, your eyes lit up. You're like, I'd like to do a podcast. You enjoy podcasting.
I do. I don't do it, so. But what I was going to say about
you'd
that
be awesome at doing
a podcast. I hope so. Yeah. And I like how this yours is just talking. Yeah. But I'm always like, I got to think of something. It has to be something. Yeah. Like what I was going to say, I was on one last summer that's still not out. But it was very much like there were comedian friends and I didn't know. They didn't tell me anything. They're like, come over, we're recording a podcast. I'm like, okay. And they like totally caught me off guard, and it just turned into like a big like improv kind of thing, and it was like really cool, and that was like kind of their idea. That's why I don't really want to spoil it.
Yeah, but no it's not your idea to spoil.
And I hope it comes out soon, because I know that the other people that have been on it and on my episode, I really enjoyed, and I can't wait to hear it hopefully again someday. And
well, hopefully it comes out and it's just something that just waiting for the right time and stuff like that. Yeah,
but yeah, it would be cool to do some like character-based voice play, read play thing.
What I find hard about doing this podcast is, like, I love when I have a co-host because we just talk about stuff, and usually I get to know them a little bit, more for the audience because I usually know them. Though I've had guests that I barely knew. Mm-hmm. But when I do the shows on my own, you know, I like to have, like, a theme or something.
Yes.
And I try to get them kind of topical, but every once in a while I'm just like, oh shit, I want to talk half hour about Brady Bunch or something. But I try to, like, you know, like, this is weird because I'm talking about the episode last week, but I talk about my love of Laurel and Hardy because I got to see that movie Stan and Ollie.
Oh, cool.
And then that segued into me talking about going to the Playhouse and how I'm excited that the Westdale, and how Hamilton has never had a movie theater, but it's important to support them.
Yes.
And even if you're in the States, look for those local theaters.
Yeah.
And I am so happy because whenever somebody tells me, oh, I went to see that at the Playhouse or the Westdale, I'm always like, how many people were there? Because I want. Yeah. I just recently saw the World War One documentary, They Shall Never Grow Old. And I can talk about this because I didn't see it before the last episode. And so that was my first time going to the Westdale. And I was not only loved the movie, it's a Peter Jackson documentary, which is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Because it's just footage. And what was even great about it is at the beginning, they had an introduction by Peter Jackson. And he said, if you stay after the movie, they had a half hour showing how they made it.
Oh, cool.
Which was incredible. Sure. But if you ever get a chance to see it, it's wonderful.
What's it called again?
It's They Shall Not Grow Old.
Okay.
And basically he was approached by this military museum that has over like 100 hours of World War One footage. Mm-hmm. And this stuff is apparently, a lot of it has been seen on so many documentaries. So Peter Jackson's like, you know, how are we going to make this fresh and stuff? Yeah. And so it was really unique because he took the footage and he doesn't have a narrator. He uses they also had an archive of like something like 600 hours of talking to World War One vets.
Cool.
In there. So he decided that the whole narration was going to be soldiers, and it was amazing because they follow, like, when they were in boot camp, you know, when they first got into the war. And what's neat is they did it in a Wizard of Oz type way, and they did it as soon as they got to the war. They actually showed the screen go wide, and it was colorized. Nice. And what they did, now they weren't the first ones to ever do colorized, but what they did was they colorized it in a way to make it really look authentic.
Yeah.
Like they said, what we thought we could do was we cleaned up the footage, and then we decided to try to add color, but we wanted to add the depth to it. And the stuff they do, like, if you ever get a chance to see this, I hope they have that half hour after. Because when you see how bad the footage was and what it looked like. But his thing was that if we show this, when you watch black and white footage, you don't really get a sense of it. It almost looks...
Yeah.
But when you see it in full color, you start feeling like this could be happening. Like, these are faces of people that could be alive right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really mind-blowing. But I got to promote, you know, going to theaters again because of this. But what I'm happy to report was that there was a ton of people there.
Yeah.
And they looked like... I know it's new, but I love that people are supporting.
Yeah, I went to the Westdale like a week or two ago to, I saw if Beale Street Could Talk, and there was a lot of people there, which I'm glad, but I was at the Playhouse just last night, actually, and I saw this movie called Border, which
I saw the trailer. No, I saw the trailer, and I was
last
like,
was the last
I
want
to see it. Yeah, I know. I know, there was no way I could get out to it, but I saw the trailer, and it was, mind-blowing.
I didn't see the trailer.
Yeah.
The
trailer gave nothing away. In fact, it just made you go, I want to know more.
Yes.
And I've heard the best thing you can do is not know anything about this movie.
Well, the thing is like, and I just want to talk a bit about small theaters really quick, because I went to Ottawa recently, and they have a lot of old theaters, and I went and I saw Cold War in an old theater, and it's called the Mayfair Theater, and wicked place. People were so nice too, and we're gonna go to a couple others, but my girlfriend and I we just didn't really have time to do as everything we wanted to do, and we kept wanting to go to the Princess Theater in Kitchener-Waterloo, which is owned by the same people as Playhouse. And just like talking about how like sometimes there's not a lot of movies we want to see in the bigger theaters in Hamilton. And so now, and like, I didn't really go to Westdale that much when it was open. Like, I saw a couple movies
there. I just started going back. That's why it hurt when they were closing, because I was just like, ah!
But now it's very much like, now, like, I need to not miss out on this. And I need to, and I just... I had a friend reach out, and she is like, hey, I have this like quote unquote film club, and it's just like a small group of people, and we're going to try to go to the Playhouse once a week. Do you want to come? And I'm like, yeah. So I went and saw Border last night. And I also want to say, the Playhouse is wicked. Like, the seats are so nice, which is weird to say about a movie theater, because they're just seats, but like, they're so comfy, and it sounds really good in there.
Yeah, it does.
And
it was hard the first time. Because when we saw The Room, there were people yelling and stuff.
Yeah, true.
But when we saw Stan and Ollie, and again, it was at matinee showing, and it was half the house was filled, which made me happy.
That's awesome.
When I say half the house, people are probably like, but you gotta, this is a huge
it
theater.
It is a big theater, yeah.
Like, that's what scares me, because both the Westdale, they have a lot of seats, so you really need to get that support in there, but they have so many great things. So sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a bummer because there wasn't a ton of people at Border, but I understand it was like a late showing on a weeknight.
Yeah.
But this movie, and I can't really tell you anything about it. I didn't see the trailer. I saw the poster on the website, and there was like a couple quotes, and all I remember was like, "It's weird," and I'm like, "Okay, cool." Like, I don't want to miss out on a weird movie.
I think one of the quotes in the trailer was, don't read anything about it, just go.
Yeah. And it, because, but I will, and I do want to talk about it because I think people should see this movie, but I will also say that it's really disturbing and it really messed me up.
One of those.
Yes.
It's not like the first movie you may have showed me that you said, don't tell me anything about it, and it screwed my life. No, I'm kidding.
but the thing is, it's real, it's un, I would, there, I haven't seen every movie, so I don't know for sure, but it's really sweet, and it's funny, but then, yeah, it gets really dark near the end, but I won't say anything beyond that, but it's about... a woman who works at the Swedish border. It's a Swedish film, and she looks like one of those like Geico cavemen people.
Yeah, we were like, are they cavemen? Like we were like totally like, but are they Neanderthals? Because that's what all we could think. But
and
we were both like, Heather was there like, I kind of want to see this, and I have no clue what this is about.
Please, please do. Even though, like, I'll put a bit of disclaimer at the end, but it's about her, and it's amazing because no one brings it up. It's not addressed, and that she looks this way, and you're kind of like, okay, like, you know, it doesn't matter that she looks, and you can tell it's a prosthetic, but it's like, it doesn't matter, and she's really good at smelling things, and that's why she works at the border, because she can tell people have drugs or other kind of bad things. And
sorry, this is interesting already.
And you're watching it, and you're kind of like, is that, like, you're like, I know that this is what it is, and it's kind of funny and silly, but the movie plays it so straight. And then one day, there's this man who also looks like a cave person who comes in, and you can tell that she's, like, so interested, and you can tell... that she can tell that he looks like her, so she's like interested in him. But again, everyone else isn't like, hey, that guy looks like you or anything like that. And like the way it progresses, and it's like unlike any movie I've seen, because
I believe it was up for a foreign film Oscar this year.
It was Sweden sent it to be nominated. I don't know if it got nominated. But it was nominated for makeup.
Yeah, that would make sense.
It could have been. I think I heard that it was, but then I think when I read into it later, it might have just been like their so Sweden submission for that Oscar. But it could have been. I'm not sure. But it was unlike anything else I've seen, and really interesting and cool storytelling. But like, I'll compare it to something, because I don't want. I've suggested. "Quote unquote disturbing movies" to some people, and they've watched it like, and just been like, "What? Why did you do that to me?" And
I remember challenging a few people to see a movie, and I think one or two thanked me, and other people were like, "What the hell?" And I can honestly say I didn't even know if I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it. But I said, if you're into horror, a movie called Tusk.
Yes, I know that one.
Yeah, and I challenged horror fans to give it a try because it was so out there, and I liked it a lot, but I didn't love it. There was one part that really rubbed me the wrong way, and it's not even the part that should be the disturbing part that rubs me the wrong way. Yeah. It was one of the cameos in it, we'll say.
Oh, okay, I think I know you're talking about.
Yeah, because it took me a minute, and then I said, is that who I think it is? Yeah. And I just felt that character kind of chewed the scenery way too much.
Yeah, definitely.
I won't say it just in case you see it. But other than that, I thought the movie was like, I think I watched it with my jaw open for the whole thing. So I find movies like that very entertaining.
Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming you probably, have you seen Seven, like with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman?
Absolutely.
I remember the first time I watched that movie, and like I just kind of felt like empty and like was just like, what the heck did I just go through?
Great movie, but
I will say it's similar to the way I felt after watching Borden.
Okay, wow.
But it's cool because it, like, you know, Seven's very like dark, drab, hopeless kind of movie. Whereas I think it's cool that Border is like kind of has this intriguing, cute, like
there's
sweet
some
kind of
sweet
story element.
Scenes in the trailer, I remember, but I know
it
they.
It is a sweet movie, but it twists it on you, and you're like, how'd you do that to me?
Now, you said you wanted to do a round of topics, Teaserama, which we're going to do, but before we do that, I want to talk about one topic with you, because you and I do have it in common. The whole idea that physical media like DVDs and stuff are probably within 5 years of being gone. Yeah. Like, they'll always be there, but people won't be making them. What are your thoughts on that? Because I know you and I both collect, well, you collect, like, VHSs, you collect DVDs. And we'll be still able to get the older movies, but a lot of these new movies might go right to streaming services and stuff. And I just wanted to know, since you're of a different generation than me, because I fear this because I don't have streaming sites, and I don't like to be pushed into it. And I think you'll always still get some DVDs made, like the older, like Rhino and some of those obscure little ones that, you know.
And Netflix does put some of their content out on DVD.
But it's, hit and miss.
It's kind of just the most popular.
But what are your thoughts on it? Is this something you worry about, or?
Well, I'll say that this subject, I think, is tough for me because I like having things. And it's also, I think my life has changed a bit because I no longer have a computer. And so I can't watch movies on my computer anymore. I can't, like, I can't download movies or watch stuff on streaming sites anymore. So I have a DVD player and I have a TV. So now I just, like, get DVDs from the library and buy DVDs. I'm huge into VHS. I spend way too much time looking for them and buying them. But it's like I like it, and I like I'm sure you can connect with this as well, but I like being surrounded by the things that inspire me and make me happy.
Yep.
So I like, you know, you've seen my room. Like, I have movies on display all over, really.
Yeah, and I love that about you, is that that's why I brought this. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about it, because for me it is. But you, like, I love that I looked up and that was your favorite movies, or, like you said, you change them up a bit, but I like that these are currently the ones that are in your heart.
Yeah, and I love doing that, but I will also say that the amount of garbage that our world produces in general scares me. So sometimes I'm like, maybe it's good that we're not making these things, especially having worked at Value Village or working at Cheapies, where we buy and sell stuff, and you see the amount of things that people don't buy and the amount of things that might get thrown away or
that's just a good point. I never thought of it on that angle.
And it's like, and it's tough because you think about, like, you know, I love having something in my hand and I love, you know, putting the disc in and stuff like that. And I do, and I always will. And, but I do think of it that way as well. And I think, like, is it really worth it? And I know that that's not the reason why movies are only going to be available on streaming services, but I do think of it that way, or how, like, you know, textbooks are online. So that's a good thing that, you know, less paper is being used and stuff like that. But I'm always going to have physical copies, and I want, if I ever have kids, I want to make sure that, you know, they have the experience of, like, looking through stuff and putting it in. And it's just because, like, I love that, because sometimes, you know, I'll be like, I want to watch a movie, but I don't know what I want to watch.
Right.
And being able to, like, look at a shelf full of stuff and being like, like, what can I do? And I know you can do that online too, but it's like, different. It's a different
thing. And I like that you brought that up, because that's something I wouldn't think of.
Yeah.
And here's Mr. Old Man Conspiracy Theory. My thing is that if we leave it in the hands of streaming, they're in control of what we see. And, like, if there's a rare movie that's hard to find, you know what the feeling it is when you go to, like, a video, like a used shop, and you find some rare movie that you've heard about, and you can't believe it's in your hands.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, they're not on streaming sites.
Yeah.
Like, what if it's, like, a garbage movie? Like, we're now going to the fact, like, well, people don't like Showgirls, so we're not going to stream that anymore. Or, you know, I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah.
But, and I don't like that kind of control, as in, we're going to tell you, like, you still have a great library to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
But what about those really little obscure things? It's almost like, are they financially putting them on there?
Yeah.
Like, it could come down to that.
I will say, from my perspective, like, anything you consume, it's up to you on how you consume it. And I would compare it to, like, you know, oh, I'm going to go to a DVD store, but they only have the DVDs that they stock.
True.
Or the movie theater only plays the movies that they want to play. And so I think it's up to each and every individual to be like, what do I like? What do I want to see? What do I want to consume? And you have to, like, you know, find articles or talk to people and be like, hey, these are the things I like. What do you think I would like? What don't I know about? And you have to hear it from them, and it's your job to go out and find it, whether it be in a DVD store, a movie theater, or a streaming service, you know? And I know there are some movies that I've spent hours looking for online trying to find, or like taking a very long time to download, and knowing that I couldn't get a hold of that movie any yeah. other way, or would have yeah. never been able to see it if I couldn't find it online. And I'm thankful for that, but I think it's anything, you know, you can discover something cool, have it be at a movie theater or a DVD store or streaming, but that's just my perspective, I guess.
Very cool. Anyhow, we're going to take a short break, and we'll get some new beverages, and you guys can get some new beverages, and when we come back, we are going to go into Ryan's box of topics, Teaserama. I'm going to definitely let him know, because this is the third time we'll be going into it, and he gets a kick out of these. So, once again, anybody who's listened to the other ones, you have no clue what we're talking about. We could talk about life, we could talk about movies, we could talk about lots of sexual things, but Luther suggested it. He's our co-host, so I'm blaming it all on him. Anyhow, we'll be back after this.
When Ohio's first drive-in theater opened in 1939, Ohio Steak and Barbecue was already in business, serving their fine Temp-Taste brand meats. Today, you can still enjoy their fine Temp-Taste brand products at the concession stand. That's right. In addition to soft drinks, popcorn, and candy, you can also enjoy hot dogs, hamburgers, french fries, and Temp-Taste barbecue. So, no matter what you've got a taste for, we've got it at the concession stand. And now, during intermission, is the time to enjoy it. Our tender, flavorful hamburgers with golden brown crispy french fries is an old American treat. Or try our juicy hot dogs that are cooked with infrared heat, so the flavor is never... Temp-Taste Barbecue is an all-time favorite. Tasty morsels of beef bubbling in a tomatoey sauce. Now that's real eating. From Temp-Taste, since 1937.
Sorry, dying of cough here. Sorry. That's not a smoker's cough. That's I'm overcoming a head cold, and this is my remnants. Welcome back. That's a great intro. You know. I'm back with my co-host. Luther is here, and he wanted to do some topics, Teaserama. So for those of you regular listeners, you know that Ryan, my friend Ryan, did a box for me, and we still have episodes or envelopes.
Yeah.
And basically he made these, so I don't know these. I won't lie, earlier in the topics, Teaserama, it would be me writing them and my co-hosts.
Yeah.
I'd make them do five, and then if they picked them, that's fine. If they didn't, we used it for the next people. But
yeah,
these have been fun, but a warning here, Ryan has a twisted little sense of humor, so these could be strange. Sometimes I don't even know what they are, but Luther's pretty smart, so we'll figure it out.
Here it goes. Also, and, if any of my friends are listening, okay, you don't know what topics Teaser Am.
Yeah, explain. Yeah, I'll let you
I
do
guess,
it.
I guess I technically don't. I've never.
Oh, okay.
Before,
do you?
But it's
do
just
you want
like
me to do
envelopes
it?
With yeah. topics in them, and then we just try and talk about.
Right.
Whatever it says. Right?
And we can talk as long as we want about a topic. Yeah. Usually I put a time limit. I won't. We won't go into the wee small hours of the morning. But usually I put a limit on it. And then we talk about, like, if we find a topic that we talk the whole half hour for,
yeah,
we go. And if not, it's like, yeah, I don't know what else to say about my love of pickles. Because you just never know what's going to be on here. So, sure. Let's go. Right. You should write me some topic Teaserama questions.
So I open the envelope and then I tell you what it says.
Yeah.
Okay. This is
Before you do that, because I thing, I would love for you to interview me one time. I've always wanted someone to ask me questions.
For sure.
Would you be okay to do
that? You know what was funny?
Because you seem excited about doing my podcast, so I'm going to try to ask you more often.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I wanted to prepare something for today, but I hate to admit that after I got off of work, I just zonked right out, fell right asleep.
I'm surprised I'm awake right now because I got little sleep, so the fact that I'm alive and well, but I have a feeling my eyes are going to get really wide, and let's see.
All right. Good. Yes, one day I will do that.
Yeah, sure, I'd like that. Is that too egomatic to say, could you interview me for my own show?
No, not at all.
I've got 150 some odd episodes. I can be egomatic. Here's our first question.
All right, this is a good one. If you could go on a trip anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Oh, thank God we got a normal one to start. It's always weird when you have you ever used anal beads or something? Do you want me to go first on this one?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take turns answering the questions. Anybody who knows me knows I don't like to travel. It's not because I'm a stick in the mud. It's just if you ever seen me just going to spend a weekend at my partner's cottage, I still have to pack so much things. Mm-hmm. Like he'll be like, why are you packing dress clothes? We're going. I go, because you never know, we might meet someone there and they might invite us to their home. Never has happened, but I always have a nice shirt and nice pants. But if I had to travel, I hate to say it, but ever since I saw the Mamma Mia movies, I kind of like Greece. The islands in Greece just seem beautiful.
Yeah.
And this is not just a place that I just, the locale of it just makes me kind of want to go there. The little villas that they show. I don't even know where in Greece that is. Yeah. So if you've seen the movie Mamma Mia or Mamma Mia 2, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I just find that kind of nice. I could also say Germany because my mother comes from there. And I've always kind of been interested in Australia. Maybe because of my love of Olivia Newton-John, but my fear of big spiders probably would keep me from there. So, yeah.
That's cool.
And you?
Me? I think we've talked about this before. I don't really like to travel either.
The question right there.
Yeah, really. But I like to go to places where I know things are happening.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd
like day trips and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also, like, I'd like to go somewhere for, like, a festival or something like that. But I will say I went to Ottawa recently. I think I said that already. But I really liked it there. I kind of just want to go there again. Oh. And there was a lot of stuff that I kind of did and would like to be doing more of. Like, I went to a really cool record store or this music venue that it was also an arcade or this other music venue that it was also a bookstore and they did, like, poetry nights and comedy nights and there was a comic book store in the basement and we're doing so much stuff that we couldn't do a lot. So I'd like to revisit all that. And I like, maybe I don't really like to travel to see sites or something like that, but I'd like to experience, like, communities and culture and, like, see how it's different than where I am. And so I'd like to go somewhere for, like, I don't know, like a South by Southwest festival in Houston, Texas or something
like that. I could see going to something more like that. To me, like, when people say, don't you ever want to go to, like, a resort or a cruise? And I'm thinking, I don't really drink.
Yeah.
And a lot of that when I see people's pictures, no offense, I look at your pictures on Facebook, it's basically lounging by the sun with a drink in your hand.
Yeah.
And I burn, so all I'd be doing was I'd be slathered in sunbathing thing. I'd be in the pool, but I kind of want to travel to the, but I'm, and a lot of those places, they always say if you go off the resort, you know, you're risking your life. So again, this does not promote travel to
me. It's funny. I went to Mexico for my 14th birthday.
Okay.
And we stayed at a resort in Cancun, but like when we left and we went into like the other parts where there's like markets and stuff like that. And I loved it. It was so much more interesting because, like, yeah, the resorts, it's like, oh, there's a Hard Rock Cafe. Like, I can go to one of those half hour outside of where I live. But then, yeah, like, going to cool places or, like, seeing the rundown resorts was really cool. And I remember
not cool when you stay there, though.
No, of course not. But I loved I was taking pictures of the graffiti because I really liked the graffiti there. And I remember my aunt being like, don't take pictures of the graffiti. Take pictures of things your family wants to see. And I'm like, I want to see the graffiti.
Yeah, no, I'd be interested in that, too. I remember I stayed at a motel, not a motel, a hotel in Parry Sound. I won't name it because I wouldn't remember it anyhow. And it was okay, but I think it would probably be like, I remember it had little, not many stars. And I remember just weird things like picking a cigarette butt out of the pool while you're swimming. And my favorite was when we went to the Continental Breakfast. There was a chipmunk, like where all the buns were and stuff. And
inside.
Wow. And he literally like would skip it out when we came out. And I go, well, that's special. But I thought it was charming, actually, but I didn't eat there. We went to the McDonald's because we didn't know where the chipmunk went. So you can have charming moments, but you can also have realistic, like maybe we shouldn't eat here.
Yeah.
What are those raisins? All right. On that note, it's time for another question. It's like the Oscars. Oh, simple. Batman or Superman?
I like Batman better.
That's okay. Why are you looking at me like I'm going to ask you to ask? Well, as I sit here with my Superman ring.
Yeah,
and
I know how you feel about Superman.
But so. I was a big Batman fan before Superman. Yeah. And then as I grew older, I realized that I don't relate to a rich guy who has gadgets. Yes. But I relate to a freak from another planet that... Yeah. Doesn't feel like anybody understands him. So, mm-hmm. But you were answering first, so you're Batman thing, and I'm not going to ask you to leave.
No, I understand that perspective totally, but I guess technically I don't really connect to either characters.
Okay.
Really, like I understand your connection, and it seems like something I probably would do or whatever. But I don't know. I get this is going to sound super shallow, but Batman just looks cool. Like you know those. I think all of the Batman movies are wicked, like the way they look. Like I grew up watching the, like Batman and Robin and Batman Forever.
Yes, yes. And, I love Batman Forever.
Who's the guy that directs it again? The guy that did St. Elmo's Fire, right?
Joel Schumacher did the two, and then Tim Burton did the first two of that series.
And to be honest, like I know a lot of people might not agree with this, but I rewatched the Tim Burton ones recently, and I'm like, these aren't as great as I remember them. But I think Batman Forever is like my favorite Batman movie. Like,
you know what? That is up there. You and I are really best friends now. Because no, I actually like Batman versus Superman now more, but I think Batman Forever is underrated in so many ways. And I think for me, this is what I kind of miss the days that a superhero movie kind of looked like a big glossy cartoon.
Yeah.
And I love the color. And I think Joel Schumacher doesn't get enough credit for the amount of subplots he has in that, and he manages to do them all. Like he has the Batman dealing with, you know, Chase Meridian going to like thing. I think major spoiler here, but if you don't know the comic by now, you probably wouldn't watch it anyhow. What's his name? Dick Grayson's parents are murdered by Two-Face.
Yeah.
And he sees them all dead on the... That sequence is one of my favorite sequences in a movie. Because I think they filmed it so beautifully where they're all gunned down. And he's saving all these people. When he comes back, his reward is there's his family dead on the circus floor. Like,
The aerial shot of them.
And them all. And he doesn't see it because he's getting the bomb away from everybody in that thing. And then Jim Carrey's The Riddler is so good. It's funny to watch it now because like, he has such an Annie Lennox vibe with that haircut, you know, like the early Eurythmics. It's over the top, but it's funny. But I love, and a lot of people actually say it's actually Tommy Lee Jones that has the over the top part.
Mm-hmm.
Two-Face is really over the top, but I think they work well together in a way.
So too.
And that scene where they first meet, where he shows up and he's like talking to them.
Yeah.
I think it's an amazing scene. And I don't know. I also like Chris O'Donnell a lot in that.
So. Yeah.
I knew he wasn't no teenager at the time, but I think it was well cast and stuff. Mm-hmm.
And this is just a nostalgia factor for me. And I guess that's topical considering the name of the podcast, but like, because I watched those movies so much as a kid, but I'm so attached to like the 90s had such a weird aesthetic to some things. And, like, I was talking about this with a friend recently about, like, you know, like, fisheye lenses and canted angles. Yeah. And just, like, I love that kind of stuff. And the crazy sets, like, when the Riddler has, like, the room for Two-Face, and there's, like, the girl in the white dress and the girl in, like, the red dress or whatever, and, like, just so elaborate. Or the scene where Dick Grayson takes the Batmobile and fights the guys who are wearing the glow-in-the-dark paint. Like, you don't see stuff like that anymore. Sure, it's not good, but it's so amazing to see.
But it also gives a shout-out to the old Batman series, because there was a lot of humor in it. Like, I love, like you said, a villain that'll go and, I'm going to paint this side of the room, you know, this, and this will be the other side of me. Like, I love that a supervillain is picking out paints because his lair has to fit his personality and stuff.
Or even just, like, the TV brain-sucking thing. Like, it's just so interesting and out there.
Well, I think the problem with it is, and I'm going to get flack from this, and is that... I think there was a time that superhero movies were kind of made for the whole family. Even the Tim Burton ones are kind of dark, but not really.
Yeah.
Though I always thought...
The second one's pretty...
I like some of the imagery in the second one, but I actually find that one a little boring. There's a lot of press conferences in there.
I do love Catwoman, though. I wish I was just like a Catwoman movie.
Yeah, no, that was not the Halle Berry one we got with the weird ear things. But one thing I will say, I don't know if it's ever been said on this podcast, but a friend of mine that was on this show, Larry Smith, a great comedian in this town.
Cool.
He told me something I've never done, but I'm going to tell it to you because it might blow your mind a little.
Okay.
He said that he recently watched the Tim Burton Batman movies.
Yeah.
And he actually decided for some weird reason he had an old TV and he actually took the color off of it and watched it in black and white. Mm-hmm. And he said that it actually works better as a black and white noir film because it was shot like that.
Yeah.
And I was mind blown because I thought I can actually see it even though I've never seen it. And I actually like the Tim Burton one. I'm like you. I liked all of them. I actually thought, when I saw Batman Begins, I really liked it, but I actually thought there was more death in the first Batman because Joker was like spraying lethal gas and killing all these people at Gotham. And I'm like, why are they talking about the Nolan ones? But my dream was when Nolan's series was done that they were going to say we're going back to do the Schumacher Burton ones again.
I wish.
And in that style, I would love that so much. But a little love for Superman since he's my favorite. I know. He gets a lot of dorkiness. I think Henry Cavill has brought a coolness to him. I think as much as I've said this before on my show, Christopher Reeves will always be my Superman. But Henry Cavill, I don't think I'm even saying that right. He gets Superman. And he has brought so much depth to that character.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even the biggest fan of Man of Steel, but I can still see he knows that character and he gets the isolation, the fear of you could be loved one minute and then Batman's trying to kill you the next.
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of given Superman a little bit more depth. I love also that, as I said, I used to be a big Batman fan and then I started watching Smallville and I started getting a sense of I can relate to, like, one minute they love you and then the next minute, you know, my mental issues again. And I always saw a deeper lore to Superman because Superman, it's cool. It's cool to be a vigilante, but Superman almost is like on par with it. Like, I always put him up there with like a Jesus Christ story, like coming to Earth and like just blowing everybody away, but like you do one small thing and everybody's like, well, he could, like, I think the whole thing in the Batman versus Superman is amazing that Batman says, what if he turns on us?
Mm-hmm.
We have nothing to protect ourselves. This guy could just rule us. Superman is not like that. But I started wearing a Superman ring and I love how many people come up to me and said, Superman. That's Where'd you get that ring?
That's wicked.
So it's nice to see, because I know Batman is way more popular, and I'm okay with that. But you know what? I love that Superman has its fans. So
just to I'll
pick this is a good topic.
But also just to I don't want the first one. Just to speak to Batman being like a rich snobby dude or whatever. Yeah. But I remember when I started watching their Daredevil Netflix TV show.
Yeah, I love that.
And I was watching it, and my dad was really into comic books when he was younger, and he was really into Daredevil, and I remember he got me like a few Daredevil action figures when I was younger and stuff like that, but I never really knew anything. Like, I knew the Ben Affleck movie, but obviously that's not, you know, it's a completely different thing. But after watching the TV show, I'm like, Daredevil's just a way cooler Batman. Like, you know, he's like poor and and like trying to make enough money just to like defend good people as a lawyer, and then he's also blind, like, and he's just like so cool. Anyway, Daredevil.
Yeah,
cool.
No, we could talk about Daredevil a lot. When I watched that first season, I was blown away.
So good.
I didn't like the actor they cast, and by episode one, I was like, I'm totally sold on him. When they started bringing on Kingpin, I was like, I actually love the villain just as much as I love the hero. Yeah. Like, Kingpin was so beautifully done, and it also showed me the power of TV. Like, when people tell me, well, TV is so much better now. Well, they have 13 episodes to tell a story. A movie is like 2 hours, three hours maybe. So anyhow, we're off on a tangent. Yeah. So let's get
Great show, though.
Yeah. That just tells me there's going to be something really weird. Maybe we did all the weird ones.
Maybe you did.
No condom fell out. That's a good sign.
Oh, wow. What makes you smile?
Lots of things. Yeah. Wow. I like that Ryan was in a really great mood. What makes me smile? Stereotypical answer. People will boo. My friends.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to win points here, but just you being here.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what we're talking about. 1 minute we're talking about superheroes. 1 minute we're talking about personal stuff. 1 minute we're talking about, you know, seats in a movie theater. That makes me smile, because it's like, just, I've talked to you several times, and every time we talk, we seem to hit something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I love when you meet new people and you start, wow, I didn't know that about them, or that blows me away. So I love my friends. They are the people I try to reach to when I'm going through hard times. If you want something else, you obviously movies, music.
Yeah.
Just sometimes waking up and realizing that even though I fight some dark demons, I've created a life that I love. And I always remind my partner and my close friends that when I'm going through dark times, it's not them. It's not because I hate my life. I always thought when I grew up, I'd have to give away playing with toys or playing games or, and I have a life that I do all that stuff. You know, I still role play with my friends. I have video dance parties. You didn't see this growing up with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they talked about doing that when they were young, but I found out, yeah, you can do all that stuff in your 50s. Yep. So that's my teaching moment, Luther, that when you get older, you can still do all the stuff you love.
I plan on it.
You know, well, I always, at every dance party, I always joke, when we're 70, it's going to look rougher, but we're still going to be doing it. So what makes you smile?
Well, obviously my friends make me smile, so I'm not going to say, oh, I've got something better than that, but something...
Your friends are better than my friends, no?
Something that I recently have really grown to appreciate, and I think is just something really cool, is the other day I was talking to my younger sister. I think she's in grade 2 now, so I guess she'll be like, she'll be 7 soon, I believe. And I talked to her on the phone, and I've noticed that I generally sometimes have issues, not with you, but talking to people or like knowing what to bring up.
Sure.
But I love movies, so I love asking people like, have you seen a cool movie lately? Everyone always has a good answer to, have you seen a cool movie lately?
Yeah.
And I was talking to my sister, and like I said, she's really young. And so I was trying to engage a conversation, because sometimes with kids it can be tough, and I'm like, how is school, and like your friends and stuff like that, and she's like, oh, it's okay, and then it's like over or whatever, and I'm like, okay, like, what can I say, and I'm like, well, it's my go-to question, I'm like, have you watched any cool movies lately? And she's like, yeah, like Alpha and Omega. And I'm like, oh, the one about the wolves is like an animated movie about wolves. Yeah,
I remember
wolves.
It coming out. I never saw it. But...
I've seen some of it. Not a great movie. But
but to her, it's brilliant.
But yeah, and it's like, I talked to my dad after she explained it to me. But she talked to me about like probably like between 5 and 10 minutes just explaining this movie. Yeah. And sure, maybe her explanation wasn't like a... like a thorough summary or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like when you hear a kid explain a movie, they just tell you the moments that stick out in their heads. And
sometimes it's unusual moments too.
Yes, exactly. And I have another good story about that after that I actually told my dad, but she was going on about it and just telling me all these moments I didn't really understand the plot, but just these moments. And it's so cool because I love thinking about psychology, especially of children. And I think it has to do with my like love of films and like wanting to make films, and because my childhood meant a lot to me and thinking about how I thought of things as a child. But I remember my dad went on the phone after she was done, and he's like, oh, that was like quite the speech she gave you or whatever. I'm like, yeah, but I love hearing that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I told him about this one summer where I was babysitting my brother. Because I don't know, he couldn't do daycare or camp or something like that. So I was watching him, and I only did this once, unfortunately, but I was like, I need to think of constructive things for us to do. So I'm like, I'll show him a movie, and then I'll ask him to summarize it, like write it down. I can't remember how old he was at the time, maybe like grade 4.
Okay.
But we watched Princess Mononoke. Have you seen that?
No.
It's really, really good.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's really good. And I think it's like probably close. It's at least 2 hours, and it's really long. And it's like about like the people moving in and taking over parts of the forest. But there's like spirits and animals who are like getting run out, and they're trying to fight back against these people. And it's like really complex. But there's a part where like these like demons take over the bodies of these animals, and there's a part where like a wolf's head gets cut off. Oh. He's probably a little bit too young to watch this movie, and I was realizing that as I was showing it to him. But then like the demon takes over the wolf's head, and like it moves around or whatever, I could be getting the plot wrong. So if anyone's seen that movie, I haven't seen it in a while. Maybe not what happens, but I remember afterwards when I talked. I was like, oh, what did you like about the movie? And it's like, all he talked about is like, I loved the wolf head. Like, what was that all about? And like talking about how the characters interacted with the wolf head and stuff like that. And I like thinking about that, because I definitely had moments when I was younger watching weird movies that I probably shouldn't have, and like thinking about how much they've impacted me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah.
That's great.
So hearing kids explain things makes me smile.
That's a great answer. That is a great answer. We're getting another letter here. Boy, these are really... I'm impressed that he, like,
sealed them all. Yeah, put each one in an envelope.
Yeah.
I was expecting, like, little strips of paper in a basket.
Yeah, I'll definitely tell him, because he's listened to the other one and he laughs his ass off. So we're getting the normal ones, so we might have used up all his sex jokes. Because I'm sure Ryan wanted to hear something dirty when we said, what makes you smile? I could have gone there, but... Who do you sometimes compare yourself to?
Huh.
Sorry, I'm laughing. Because we've actually talked over coffee about this.
Oh, okay.
So he knows that if I try to make some bullshit line up here, do you have one, or do you have to think about it? Like, if I don't know if he means somebody you know, or a celebrity, or...
Yeah.
Well, like, you know how you sometimes kind of live your life to, like, if I could be a celebrity or...
Yeah.
Or not even, like, copying it, but just I would... If I could be...
Okay. So what's the question exactly? Okay, who do you compare yourself to?
Yeah, who do you compare sometimes compare yourself to?
I
don't know if he's going by looks or...
Yeah.
I would go, like, just... I would say personality, but...
Yeah.
If you're going by looks, I get everything from Elton John to the former lead singer of Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah, now that I see the Elton John. I never really thought about that.
Yeah, before. I've sang Elton John at karaoke, and they thought it was funny. Oh, but cool. Stephen Page, who used to be the lead singer of Bare Naked Ladies, I actually had a drunk guy at a Stag and Doe convinced that I was not giving my real name, and he kept all night, was like, I know you're that guy. And you're just not telling us. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's it. And what would have been funny is I can actually do a pretty kick-ass version of him.
Oh, yeah.
That would have really fucked him up if I did, like, Enid or if I...
Falling for the First Time is one of my favorite karaoke songs.
That's a good song.
I love that song.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know what's weird is that I feel like I've lived my entire life not really having a celebrity look-alike. Yeah. You might... feel different if you think there's a celebrity I look like, tell me. But
I don't know, you're pretty unique.
My mom, I think, came the closest, though there are some people who disagree, but she has found some pictures of very young Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
And it looks,
since I've seen some movies recently of him, a little bit.
And I think that was close, but I don't know. My girlfriend tells me that I look like Leonardo DiCaprio, which I don't think is true.
Well, I think because you have your hair blonde,
and
you're not a natural blonde. Are we giving away something here?
No, not a secret.
Anyhow, okay, sorry, I was sitting there. Am I outing him about being, is he posing to the world?
I usually have like 2-inch roots. So.
You look to me like, if I saw you on the street and didn't know you, you look like a celebrity who's like, I'm this is for a role, and with your glasses and everything, so maybe a little Jared Leto-ish.
Oh, okay.
Like if he was doing it, but I can't remember an actual movie where he dyed his hair and had glasses.
Fight Club. He has.
Did he have blonde hair? That's right. He did. So, but that's what I would think. But I wouldn't normally see it though.
One time I was so angry, and I don't even really want to say it, but I don't like this actor, and I got it once. And it was a St. Patrick's party, or not party, but like my uncle, I was living in Toronto. I was super sad and lonely at the time. So he invited me out to like a get together he was having at a bar with some friends on St. Patrick's Day. And I got one of his friends, and she's like, you look like Ethan Hawke. And I was like,
I could buy that
one. No, don't say that. Cause I think Ethan Hawke is so busted. I don't like Ethan Hawke except for Boyhood. I like him.
Yeah.
But, I don't like him. And it was funny because I told
her. But when you go early, like you kind of look a little like Ethan Hawke.
Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear it. But I remember I was like, Ethan Hawke, no, like, he's ugly. Don't tell me I look like him. But
no,
then,
I don't think he's
ugly. But then it was funny because this older woman, my uncle's, like, office friend or something, was like, no, Ethan Hawke is so hot. And I'm like, are you just trying to tell me that you think I'm hot? And I was like, this is weird. And then everyone out there was, like, teasing her about it and stuff. But
well, if you had lighter, whiter hair and you had the right glasses, you'd do a great Andy Warhol.
Oh.
A cute Andy Warhol, because Andy Warhol had really rough face. You think Ethan Hawke? You got to go back early for Ethan Hawke. Yeah. I think she's going for, because early Ethan Hawke had more cuter, but he did get more like a manly.
Yeah,
but well, I'm not trying to say, because Andy Warhol has a very strange look, but you're kind of like a cute version. I hope that's not weird me calling you cute. Yeah,
my mom used to also say Michael J. Fox too, but
no, I don't see that at all, and I was grown up on him.
Yeah, but
I get Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, I can see that too.
And I know a friend who told me I reminded of him, the character he played in Boogie Nights. And when I saw Boogie Nights, I almost cried because that character is kind of pathetic and sad. And I was like, how do you perceive me? And he was apologetic after that. And I'm like, but I've gotten that at like banks. Stuff. It's like, you look like Philip. Especially when he died. It's like weird when you start looking like dead people.
That was probably one of the first... Heath Ledger. But it was when Philip Seymour Hoffman died, it really hit me because he's one of my favorite actors for sure. Yeah. But
all right. So we went by looks. So Ryan, hopefully we didn't lose you. Why don't we do a couple more? Do you have time to do a couple more?
Yeah, of course.
I'm enjoying this. Yeah. So.
All right. Let's see how this goes, hopefully.
Yeah, they're staying normal. Ryan's probably like disappointed here. More sex ones, he's saying.
Okay. All right. During the robot uprising, would you fight or surrender to our new robot masters?
Oh my god. Now this is, yeah, this is a Ryan question. I would fight against them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I, because I'm always worried about new technology and it takes me a long time to, you know, and I'm an old guy in the whole, like, when I'm on the bus and I look and everybody's on their phones, yeah. I'm just like, yeah, it's here. Like, this is the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
So I would fight against it because I always say that I knew the world before the internet. I got to live a good chunk of it, and I loved it after, so I can see the pros and cons on both. And I'm not one of those, I'm totally against technology. I know it's done a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm also one of those old guys that are like, it's amazing what medical breakthroughs we get, and yet we still can't do the common cold or find somebody's aches, or when you go to a drive-through and you can't understand what they're saying. It's like, really? We have, like, robots that can do surgery, but we can't, like, fix the audio on a, like, a McDonald's when you're ordering a egg McMuffin.
Sure enough.
What about you? Are you for the robots? Are you fighting with them? Do they want you to fight with them?
If anyone is my close friend or is really close to me, they know I'm, like, terrified of the robot takeover. I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen sooner than later. I hope it happens after I'm gone. But I don't know. I will say that I have little hope in this situation, and I'm super paranoid about it. I don't... I think you could fight or surrender, but I think because of the internet and everything being connected, I think there's no way you could
stop
the quote-unquote robots.
Like, do you get freaked out when you're like, you go looking at some websites, then you go over to your Facebook, and there's advertisements already for things that, you know, or...
I've got an ad
screen. Or I don't know anything about it, but you go to a porn site and then stuff pops up saying, hey, there's a single woman. I don't even know. They obviously don't know my how I play. But they'll say, there's a single woman. And they'll say Stony Creek for me. Oh, and this is even smaller. And I'm just like, is she watching me right now? Like, what's going on? But then I remind myself, well, they don't know I'm gay. So they're getting that wrong. So.
I've even gotten ads for stuff I've talked about on the cell phones and, like, not searched for it and, like, been talking to my cell phone and get ads for that. But that's a whole other story. Like I told you, I'm really freaked out and paranoid about this kind of stuff. But it's like, I'm like, it's too far gone. I know this is the way the world's moving. And I think everything will be too progressed by the time we realize we shouldn't have done something, which makes me so angry because how many movies and books and TV shows?
Yes, yes.
It's like, why are we doing this?
Why,
like,
do we keep making mistakes when we have novels, we have
2001,
movies telling us about
iRobot, Ex Machina? Like, don't do it.
Just little ridiculous things. And I keep hearing things in the news. Like, didn't I just see in Gattaca where you're like, can make the gender of your kid and make them perfect? And it's like, why are we tampering with? Here's a question for you. And I have an old guy, young guy opinion here.
Okay.
When you think of the future, like the, hopefully the distant future, do you picture Star Trek, or do you picture Mad Max? Because I picture Mad Max. Yeah. I want to be positive to say I sort of see why people want to see that. But I, when I watched Mad Max Fury Road, I kept thinking, this is the way the world's going to go. And I hope I'm way gone when it happens. Though there probably won't be as many vehicles. I think it'll all be on bikes.
Yeah.
And not like motorbikes, like Schwinn's. And...
I think because I think they will both exist, because I think at least in my perspective, their world is creating, unless we fix it, and I think this is something that the world can fix, is that I think there's a huge class divide, and I think something like Star Trek could exist, and then like there'll be neighborhoods that are like Mad Max where, you know, people have nothing. And it almost like,
yeah.
I almost think of it as like Cloud City in Star Wars, where like you never see what's down there in Cloud City, but everyone's living in these really tall buildings, and what's down there? It's probably people killing each other for gasoline.
How many movies have we seen where they just decide, let's build a city over top the scum?
Yeah.
I think RoboCop and stuff all did like, we have this city that we just built over the slums so we don't have to see them. And then, like, it's great for movies, but I don't want this to be reality.
Yeah.
We took this deeper than I think he expected us to.
Yeah, but if I'm being honest, what I think the future is really going to be is that we will no longer have to live in the real world and will exist inside a simulation, and we can live anything we want whenever we want.
Yeah.
Even maybe different things simultaneously at the same time, because eventually we'll get to a point, and I don't know, I'm no expert, but it's like we'll be able to create worlds that we can experience that will be so much better than the ones we're in. So we'll all just like almost be in a personalized version of the Matrix, where we're all just like numb to the real world and just want to live and feel however we want inside a simulation.
Can you do that after I did? I don't want to live in that world.
Yeah.
It's time for another question. No, I know that sounds... Oh, there's a condom in this. I'm not opening that one because I think you need to... When we get all the condoms, Ryan, I will taste all the condoms.
Well, don't the condoms... These ones, I think, even have things written on them, don't they? Like,
do they have things written on them?
No. Okay, sizes? That's a different brand, I thought. I thought these were, like, you know,
fortune cookie style. I can't remember what the... Fortune...
Yeah, like, sorry. You know when you open the lid to, like, a Jones bottle and it says, like, you know, live your life well or something, like...
No!
I thought...
What's a Jones bottle?
Like a soda? Like Jones soda?
Oh, I thought it was lube.
No.
Sorry, I thought you were talking, like, condom stuff.
No. But I think there is, like, brand that has, like, you know, each one says something.
There's something funny about the idea of a fortune cookie condom, like,
yeah,
when you're finished, you get your fortune told, and here's your lottery numbers, you get some for while you're down there, could you read my fortune? Oh, that's horrible. All right. Another shady topic. Sandals with or without socks?
Without.
Yeah, I if my friend Gary is listening, we actually had this topic. Not this topic, but my friend Gary and I talked about, and he goes, I have to wear socks because I have bad feet. Well, so do I, but I'll still crank out the... Yeah, I it's a weird...
It's just...
You got to be a really confident guy.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a really hot guy, you could probably get away with it because I'm not looking at your feet.
I think socks and flip-flops are kind of trendy right now, too.
Yeah,
like, young people, it's like you almost see it all the time.
But these are people that are wearing active wear all the time or wearing pajamas to Walmart and
maybe
stuff.
Maybe they're just always to and from the gym and bed.
Well, one of my they're not even going to the gym. I told them at Value Village, we need to change active wear to cozy, comfy clothes that we sit and eat chips watching TV in. Because every once in a while, you see people that are literally like, okay, she's going to go to the gym or, you know, but you see a lot of people that they're not going to the gym. They just it's easy to put on and, you know, don't look at my camel toe and get us another question.
All right.
We'll do
good.
Two more because we just said the word camel toe. Where do you go from that? This question. I forgot what the condom questions are. Let me open one.
Oh, there's questions with condoms.
Yeah, it's like, what flavor do you prefer?
Oh, okay.
But we didn't get all the condoms, so it was a very hard one to answer. See, what's your... Oh, he wrote all the flavors, and so we did answer it. So, just quickly, since we did get a condom, so Ryan doesn't think we... Thank you for the condoms, Ryan. What's your flavor? Bubblegum, fresh mint, chocolate strawberry, or island punch?
Oh.
So, if you had to taste...
Oh, like a personal...
Yeah, like...
Like, what kind of flavor of ice cream would you want to be, but... Condoms?
But for condoms, so...
What were the options?
Bubblegum, fresh mint, chocolate strawberry, island punch. I believe my favorite, I would go with fresh mint.
Yeah.
Because when you're down there, you want to feel fresh afterwards.
Yeah, true enough.
You know, although it's weird if you're going down on a condom. I don't know. Mm. It just would be like tasting latex.
Yeah.
Bubblegum would scare me because you might start chewing.
Yeah, true enough.
You know, blowing bubbles down there.
I was going to say bubblegum, but...
You want to go for Island Punch?
Yeah, maybe.
Chocolate strawberry seems... That's they work weird. Too hard for that flavor.
Yeah, yeah, true enough. All right, so here is our other question.
Two more questions.
Okay. If you could leave Earth and start your life fresh on another planet, would you? Why or why not?
Oh, that's...
There's a movie about this, a Canadian film called Another Earth.
Okay.
And I've never seen it, but maybe we could watch that one day. Anyways, go on.
Oh, would I leave Earth to go to another planet? I think everybody would be a little bit interested to at least go up into space. But to relocate on a planet that I'm assuming that you're like... I'm picturing like... If they're building colonies, and would you want to go? I think there's some interest there, but I don't think I want to rebuild things, not to mention you. If you went with a group, like, you know how they always say, like, when we go to Mars, we're going to pick a group of people. Well, what if you find out those people are assholes?
Yeah.
You have to build a life, and these are the people you're working with. Like, that would suck, you know? So for me... Yeah, I think it'd be interesting, but I actually knew a guy who was in the running for that. I don't know if he still is.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
But he was in, like, the top 100, but I don't know if he made the listing.
That's great.
And I was like, wow, because you're leaving all your friends? Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it. I think for me, that would be for somebody who starting out in life. I think I've worked so hard on stuff to start over not knowing. If you said, we're going to put all your favorite people, like your friends, and send you to a place, I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought it would be great if you could get a cul-de-sac and, you know, Luther lives here, you know, my friends there. And then, you know, they're all close. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
That's what the simulation's for.
There you go. What about you? You going to another planet?
I wouldn't. I think it just has a lot to do with the, like, we already talked, like, I don't like to travel.
I know, like,
I like Hamilton. I like where I live now. And it's like, if I want to go to another world, like, I'll just go to, like, I don't know, Europe or, like, you know, South America instead.
I never even thought of that. We both said we don't like to travel.
Yeah,
if I can't pack for going to Parry Sound, God, hell no, what am I going to bring for Mars?
Yeah.
Tuxedo in case there's some, you know, proper thing. So, okay. Well, that's a hard no on that one, Ryan.
Yeah,
all right. That's got a condom in it. I can tell, unless he's got other sex things in there, but I can't. Cock ring? That would be that small. Yeah, I said cock ring. I don't think I've said as many dirty words in front of Luther in all my life.
That might be true.
Oh, this is hard.
Uh-oh.
Never spell the word hey with three Y's. The word hey with three Y's indicates you want intercourse. Have you ever hayed? Wait, have you ever hayed?
Hey.
Okay, Ryan, we've learned from these questions. Ryan lives a very interesting life. I don't know if he does all those Tinders or all those other dating sites, but I'm guessing he does because this question sounds like them.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say that I have never hayed anyone. Yeah. I have did intercourse with people, but I've never said the word hey.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't even think of what the weirdest thing I ever said to get intercourse was. I've always known the people.
Yeah.
Let's go a little dark on this. I've always said I did a one-man show about how I learned about sex and stuff. And I always, at the end of it, said that I kind of wish I was a bit more of a slut when I was younger. I really do. I think I would have been good at it. But I always had this weird thing that I tended to only wind up with friends. So I'll give Ryan a little bit of dirt because that's what he's looking for. He already knows this, but I always joke. I've only had a couple partners in my life, but Mike is the only straight gay partner I've ever had. Everybody else was straight that was just experimenting.
Yeah.
I won't name names, obviously. I'll save that for my memoirs. But they were all like... I can honestly say we were friends and it just happened.
Yeah.
And it was very beautiful and I stayed friends with all of them, but they all went on to marry women.
Yeah.
And I never felt like they used me or anything. It just felt like it was natural at the time. It may have happened multiple times, but it was nice experience. So yeah, but I always kind of wish I was a slut and, it's horrible advice, but, I've told some of my nephews that when they were single that they should try slutting around now because don't just jump into a relationships, because I find a lot of young people jump into relationships, and I'm not saying go sleep with just random people, you know, go see them, but I'm just saying enjoy that part of it, because you know, just because you hit it off with one person doesn't mean that's going to be the person you marry. You know, there are people you're meant to meet just for a little bit. And so have you, Hayd?
I haven't.
Okay.
Specifically, I don't know. Actually, no, I don't think I've
You've ever, never done the actual
I've never thing. Said something to kind of been like, hey, let's get into it.
I'd feel weird writing that.
You know what's funny, though, is that the hey with two or and or three Ys is like, a cultural thing now. I didn't know this, but when
I learned so much from Ryan
that
I could just say that for fun to somebody and then didn't realize, oh, I'm actually asking Luther for sex.
Well, see, that's
and
the thing.
So it's good that I know this now. Yeah. So
that's the thing, though, is that when I was young and like I was on MSN and stuff when I was like, you know, between 10 and 15 or whatever, that was just what people did, and I didn't see it as anything else, but it seems to have completely changed. And if you ever get Netflix or a chance to watch American Vandal, have you heard of that show?
No.
It's I would say it's my favorite show, Netflix show. And it's really good, especially if you watch a lot of documentaries, because it's a mockumentary film and it's really well made. And the first season, which is so good, is about a kid getting framed for spray painting penises on all the teachers' cars in a parking lot at his high school.
Okay.
And it sounds silly, and I thought it was looked dumb when it came out, but it's so good. But anyways, there's a part in that show. It's so funny too. Such a great show. There's a part in it where there's like this kind of like a quote unquote ugly dorky kid in their high school who may be known for lying or whatever, and he's saying that he like hooked up with this popular hot girl or whatever, and no one believes him or whatever, and he's like, oh yeah, let me prove it to you, and he has like these text messages, and he shows them, and he's like, I said hi to her, and then she said, hey, with two Ys, and they're like, oh fuck, no, like.
So you knew what he was talking about from that show.
I think maybe I knew before the show, because I think it is like kind of like a cultural thing, but I didn't know that. I never used it like that. But
why do we need codes? Like,
I don't know. People are shy and nervous, and
I think it'd be funny if somebody wrote you like, would you like to have sexual intercourse with me? Like, you know,
dear person,
can I put my pee-pee in your? Can't you just put the cock emoji? Wouldn't that just say? Would that be offended? I think there
like
is
a rooster?
One. No, I think there's a penis emoji.
No, there isn't. No, people use the eggplant emoji.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
see,
because it's phallic
teaching
looking.
Me. Yeah. I don't. I've never used it. Why would I put a penis, you know?
Yeah.
With my luck, I'd send it off to somebody I accidentally, you know, that moment when you write an email and then you realize you're on the wrong thing, you know, have you ever done that? That's horrible.
I've never. I'm not a big emailer, so it's never really happened to me. But maybe work. I sent it to the wrong person, but it was just work stuff.
So if you want to use the three whys, by all means, but please try my, would you like to have sexual intercourse with me? It won't sound that way if you write it. It's just, I'm keep making it funny because I always like if you actually use really technical, you know.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I think I've said that probably more than the three whys, like being with someone and be like, hey, like, do you want to do this? Like,
but you've never said sexual intercourse, have you?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know, like, I think it's good to be specific.
Yeah. No, it is, because they always tell you, like, when you're, it's good to talk about it in sex, because then you know what, is that person liking this? Or, yes, exactly. You know? But I think you still have to pick your words, because there's some, like, you know, I always like the word dink, but it's not...
I have a funny dink story.
I just think, you know, could you touch my dink there? I just don't know if that's sensual, you know, to say dink.
It's not a sexy story, but it was funny because...
We're bringing the word dink back after this story.
I've always used that word.
Don't be such a dink. We used to use that as kids.
Yeah, me too. And I've always used that. And this is funny because I remember I was doing... In college, I was in a project or something like that, and... I think it was our location scout was having issues getting some places, and I was texting him so much and being like, hey, did this happen? Could you send me this paperwork? That, the other thing. And I said, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry to be a dink, but I really need that, like, today. And he told me that he Googled the word dink because he had never heard that before. And I think it technically has, like, some phrase that's like, a rubber stopper or something like that.
And okay. It might.
And he's like, why are you saying that you would be that? And
I like, love that they thought you're a rubber stopper, you know. I don't mean to be a rubber stopper.
Yeah.
But could you have sexual intercourse with me? And on that note, what a great way to end.
Yes.
And Ryan, we still have a couple questions. We have three questions left.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And
tempting. Tempting, but I will save that for someone.
Nice. Maybe I'll write you a box and you can do it with other people.
I would love it. Well, you could do them too.
I don't want to know them though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I recommend it to anyone. I think it'd be great. I've actually been enjoying this because I just like that. I just like not knowing them. I used to know all the ones, so
yes, exactly.
I'd have a set question, but there were some I'd write that I think the worst one we ever did was it was the only show we ever edited. I won't say who it was, but I actually edited it because I felt bad because it was really interesting. It was before marijuana was legalized, and we talk about legalizing drugs, and I know a friend of mine, I think we talked about the topic for a good half hour, and it was an amazing, because I don't know much about drugs, and he was talking about, like, very open about all the drugs he had done in his life.
Yes.
And I loved it. And then after I finished, he just kind of had a look on his face, and I said, what? And he goes, my mom is going to listen to this. And I just basically told her every drug I ever used, and I said, we can edit it.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't want to ask you to edit it. And I said, would she really listen to this? And she goes, yeah, if she saw my name on something, she would definitely. And I said, we're going to edit it out. Okay. We'll take the first part. But we're not a scandalous show. If you want to share things, like he's shared lots of scandalous things, but no, we're not out to like ruin people, you know?
Yeah.
You know, their moms looking at them differently because of every drug. I thought it was wonderful that he was just so open with it. But then I forget that sometimes we get talking and you forget there's a recorder going.
Yeah.
So I'm not out to screw people over in that. But I would love some new questions. Yeah. And I would like you to come back.
Of course. And I'm sure I'll be back soon.
Yeah. Because I like you. You're a fun regular to have. And we talk about everything, so we should just like have it going all the time and then splice the good things we talk about.
Yeah, why not?
Because sometimes we talk about stuff out of nowhere, and yeah. It's just, that's a really good topic.
Maybe the next time people are listening to us is to our new podcast.
Yeah, I'd like to try and talk some ideas of that. Yeah, I kind of like just playing characters or doing like a scene from like a, you know, this is a hidden recorder at some undisclosed location, and then we just totally make it up as we go.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on the show, Devlin.
Again, anytime you want to come on is a treat for me. So thank you.
Me too.
Thank you. And we will talk to you very, very soon.